Which is getting nice and comfortable and enjoying everybody else. Oh, hallelujah. That's been good.
Amen.
That's really, really encouraging.
Amen.
Now, we started in 2 Chronicles there. Graham read from 2 Chronicles. We're going back into 2 Chronicles. This is chapter 20. I've given today, it's a title that should encourage you.
Amen.
The battle is the Lord's.
It is. Amen.
The battle is the Lord's. We've heard some of that today as well. And one of the things when we get into battles, it increases our stress levels, it brings fear and anger and all sorts of emotions. And sometimes it brings dismay as well, because we get into this discouraging situation, we're fighting a battle we feel we can't win. Well, this particular chapter is tells us about situations where you don't have to fight the battle.
Amen.
And the battle gets won. Mm. This is about the nation of Judah. Now, at that time, you've got Judah. Think of Israel, but you think geographically, the south of Israel was Judah and the north was Israel at that time. There were 2 separate nations. And Jerusalem was in Judah. And the king of Judah at that time was a man called Jehoshaphat. And you read about him, he's a fairly good king, because they had some real nasty kings at that time. Yeah. But he was trying to do the right thing. Didn't always get it right, but you could probably say, well, his heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
So I'll read the first 24 verses and just let you see the overall picture first, and then we've got to go through it a bit. So it's 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee.
Yes.
Didst thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend forever?
Yeah.
And they lived in it, and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, Should evil come upon us, the sword, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house, and before thee. For thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, and thou wilt hear and deliver us.
Yes.
And now behold, the sons of Ammon and of Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou didst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold, now they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from thy possession, which thou hast given us as an inheritance. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Bathanai, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Thank you, Lord.
Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight this battle.
Amen.
Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf.
Amen.
O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you."
Amen.
And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice.
Amen.
And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa.
Amen.
And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed."
Amen.
And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And when they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah. So they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped.
Amen.
That was a mighty victory.
Amen.
But it teaches us so much.
It does.
As you sort of tread through that chapter, that story, there's so much that relates to the situations that we're in and we go through.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard things today that people have shared that, you know, "I thought I was somewhere, but I wasn't. But finally, God showed me where I needed to be and how to get there."
Yeah.
And we've all, as it was, fallen off the wagon at different times. We've all had struggles and things in our lives.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're here now is because God brought us through.
Yeah.
God brought us through. And not just one situation, but situation after situation after situation. And God's there all the time. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us.
Yeah.
He never lets go. But you see, it starts off in this chapter that it says the enemy came to make war against Judah. The enemy came in to make war against Judah. Judah hadn't particularly done anything, but the enemy was there trying to get in to overthrow Judah and take over. How that sort of relates to our own lives. The enemy's always trying to get in.
Yes.
Trying to take over. Trying to get hold of us for the enemy's count.
Yeah.
But you know, the name Judah actually means praising God. Praise Yahweh. You know, it's funny that the enemy's trying to get in to the people that praise God.
Yeah.
And it's one of the places that the enemy, he's trying to destroy the church of God.
Yeah.
He's trying to get in wherever the people of God have weaknesses.
Yeah.
the enemy tries to get in and pull down the strength, the armour.
Yeah.
And like us, Jehoshaphat had the same emotion that we often get. The first emotion he got in verse 3 is fear. He was afraid. First thing that goes up. And often when we're confronted with the enemy and what he's trying to do, the first thing that rises up is in us is often fear. But you see that there was a second thing that followed though. Still in verse 3, it says, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Now it's funny because he's afraid, he knows what the enemy's doing. Now he could have started working out a battle plan. He got his own army, and he could have started working out. But instead of doing that, he didn't. He says, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Now, it wasn't just a quick prayer. He says he turned his attention onto God. That wasn't just a quick turnaround. That was putting his whole emphasis on seeking God. Now, he must have realised at that time that his victory wasn't going to come in the natural. He wasn't going to get that victory in the natural. He was going to get it through God. God was going to bring the victory. And he meant business. Because he actually called a fast for the people. And he would have been included in that. I mean, he wouldn't be just telling the other ones to fast. The whole nation fast. You know, you go back to the Second World War, which seems such an eternity ago to us now. But in terms of history, it's very close. This nation prayed.
Yeah.
When this nation had its back to the wall, this nation prayed.
Yes.
And this nation won a victory that in the natural was unwinnable.
Yes.
But it was won.
Yeah.
Because this nation turned to God.
Yeah.
So in verse 4 it says, so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. They came from all over to seek the Lord. In verse 6 we see that he acknowledges the power and authority of God. He says, O Lord, O God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of all the nations? He says, power and might are in thy hand.
Amen.
He knew where the strength was going to come from. He knew it wasn't going to come from his own army. He knew the source of the strength and the power and the might that were in God's hand. He says, and no one can stand against thee.
Amen.
If we move on to verse 9. There's a, in mine it's in brackets, and it says, for thy name is in this house. He sensed the presence of God, like Bill was talking about, getting hold of God, and Christine, how the struggled to get this relationship with God, from their own perspective. God was always there, but it's how we connect with him. And this king had obviously sensed something in that area. Because to say that, for thy name is in this house, it means that you are there. You know, and the name was, when he said name, it just wasn't a label. It was the very person of God himself. He says, you're here. He says, your name. You're here in this house. He says, and cry to thee in our distress, and thou wilt deliver us. He knew that God would help them. You go back in history, there's a number of other instances, and I'll give you some references you can look at later, where this sort of thing has happened. It's not just an isolated incident, this. See, he's got, Jehoshaphat, remember, he's got a responsibility for a whole nation. Not just himself he's looking at, he's got a whole nation. And he's got to lead that nation to survive. And whatever decisions he makes affects the whole nation. We often have decisions as families. You know, we make decisions that affect our families. And it's equally as important that we get our answers for our decisions from the right source. We've got to go to God for our decisions, our important decisions. Sometimes we'll make all sorts of decisions. We'll make them for selfish reasons, emotional reasons, a lack of information decisions. We make them for all sorts of reasons. And sometimes we make decisions that just appeal to our appetites. And often they'll take us down a road that's not a good road. But you see, this man Jehoshaphat, this king, he got in touch with God.
Yeah.
But his feet were still firmly on the ground. If you read in verse 12, he verbalises exactly where we are sometimes. He says, "For we are powerless before this great multitude." How often have we felt powerless in situations?
Yeah.
He felt powerless.
Yeah.
Man, this is a man that rules a nation with a great army. Yet he felt powerless. He says, "Nor do we know what to do." Now he's a king, he's supposed to know everything, isn't he? He's ruling this country. He's supposed to make all the right decisions. He's supposed to know what to do. But he's saying, "We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do." But he finishes that verse on, he says, "But our eyes are on thee."
Amen.
You know, you might be in that situation today. You feel powerless. The situation that you're in seems to drown you almost.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, he's telling you what to do. He's telling you what you need to do. He says, "Put your eyes on Jesus."
Amen.
"Put your eyes on the Lord."
Amen.
Because that's where your answer's going to come.
We can
work things out in the natural as much as we like.
Yeah.
And I've done it many a time. And the reality is, the answer has come differently to what I anticipated.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you look at all sorts of possible scenarios, and the one thing that comes to us is one you never thought of.
Yeah.
But God did. See, the thing is that God's got all the information.
Yeah.
We always try to resolve things and solve things with only part information.
Yeah.
That's why it's good for God to I'm going to say be involved, but for God to take charge.
Yeah.
One of the things it says that we have to do is to submit to God.
Oh.
And sometimes it's the most difficult, because we're very selfish individuals.
Yeah.
But it is the answer. You know, I know some people say, "Oh, well, you're being religious, you know, talking about God solving things." But if you take a certain route and you can see a town somewhere in the distance, and I've done this when I've been out hiking, you see a destination, you can actually see it. I did this once. There's one point I went, and I hiked the other side of Penistone. Now, you've seen the Home Moss Mast.
Yeah.
Well, you see Emily Moore from here probably, but Home Moss is a bit further. But that is on the top of a hill. It's all moorland. There's roads close by. And I'd gone not far from the mast. And I'd sat at this place looking down over Huddersfield, and I sat next to this chap. Duke of Edinburgh's Award lads coming up, and he could see him, and he was keeping his eye on him, so I sat talking to him. And And then I says, "Oh, how do you get to the mast?" And he says, "Well," he says, "you go across the field." He says, "Keep to the edge." And I says, "Oh, fair enough, right." So I went off. I went across. And I got to the edge. Now, if you think in terms of a field like that, and I've gone to this is the edge, and the Holmos mast is over there. So the direct route is to go across. Well, clever me, but I'll go across. What I didn't realise, and I couldn't see it that far, I could see the mast, I could see it. When you get so far, there's a gully. So when you've gone across there, you then have to go down the gully and then climb back up the other side. If I'd have gone across there, I'd have missed the gully because the gully started part way across. But I kept to the edge. I'd have gone round and I'd got to it quite easily. But I went... Yeah, and I thought, I could see the destination. So I thought I was okay, but I wasn't. But, you see, we often get that sort of view. We can see the destination, we see where we want to go, we can see the mechanics, or we think we can see the mechanics of how to get there. But we've not asked God. We've not asked God the way. We've not found the right way. We've found what seems the right way. And we've gone off on that and doing our own thing, and we get sometimes on some weird tracks. And some are dead ends, and we have to turn around and come back. Sometimes we have to eat humble pie because we've gone down this road and had to come back. But God's not gone away. Somebody said, "God loves me no matter what. No matter how stupid I am, no matter how far I go, where I go, God's still there. God's still there." And his love is beyond the way we love, and unfortunately, as a nation, we have corrupted the word love. It means all sorts of things. It means, it's a regular thing. Christmas usually, somebody brings me a box of licorice all sorts. I like licorice all sorts. They must think I love licorice all sorts. But thing is that people say, "I love chocolate. I love sweets. I love this. I love that." No, you like it. Be using the word love. And it's same often with friendships. You know, you hear it a lot in the entertainment world. "I love you," and it's I don't know, it's for sure sort of thing. God's love is completely beyond what we use as the word love. It's very, very rare that you come across the real love that God talks about, the agape love. That love is doing what is needed for the person, regardless of your own needs, and just looking for the best for that person. And what's best for that person isn't necessarily what that person wants. So if you're caught in favour with that person, you could fall out with them because it's not what they are wanting from you. But God's love gives just the perfect answer for the solution. And puts us on the perfect path as well. Verse 15. This is a lovely verse, this. It says, "Do not fear or be dismayed." Now, is Jehoshaphat, leader of the kingdom, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know the solution, he's gone to God. So God then tells him, "Do not fear or be dismayed." And he puts a very powerful footnote with it as well. He says, "Because the battle is not yours, it's God's."
Amen.
So if you're in that situation that you're struggling, you're finding things so difficult, you've got in over your depth, and you don't know which way to turn, God reminds you, don't be dismayed.
Amen.
Don't give up. Somebody said, somebody mentioned that, didn't they? Don't give up. Stay in there.
Amen.
Stay in there. Don't be dismayed. Because the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
You might be fighting it as your own battle.
Yeah.
You might be trying to put all your armoury together to fight the battle. Well, God says, no. The battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
All God asks of us is to just to submit to Him.
Yeah.
Do as you're told.
Yeah.
Do as you're told. Do what God tells you to do. And if you've gone round the mountain and gone round the mountain and gone round the mountain and you're still trying to learn the same principle that God's telling you, well, learn that principle.
Amen.
Submit. Submit to God and let Him show you the way.
Amen.
Sometimes we get into this position that we say, well, I were made for fear. My middle name is dismay.
No.
I'm always like that.
No.
Well, no, you're not.
No.
You're not. You read what God says about you.
He's not given
God does not love rubbish.
No.
God calls them. You know, like we're priceless. We're on the potter's wheel. God's making something beautiful. He doesn't make something rubbish on a potter's wheel. Make something beautiful. And that's you and me. That's you and me on that potter's wheel. Just letting Him form us. Letting His change us. The enemy knows that if he gets us in fear, if he gets us dismayed and despondent, then we're weak. He's got us in a weak position. And far from going away from God, we need to go to God, because that's where we're going to find our strength. You're going to find that in this, the strength comes when they start praising God.
Amen.
That's when the real power takes place. Verse 16, it says, tomorrow, go down against them. And what's he saying? He's saying, face your enemy.
Amen.
Now, he's telling me that the battle is not mine, but he's telling me to face the enemy.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things it says, if you face Satan, he'll flee from you.
Yeah.
If you face him. But you see, you've got to face him in the right way. You've got to face him with God on your side. You've got to stand and face him. And you've got to remind the enemy that the battle's the Lord's. The battle is God's. You haven't got to fight the enemy. You read in the New Testament about putting the armour on. You can put the armour on. But it's God that's doing the fighting, because in there it tells you to stand. It doesn't tell you to fight, it tells you to stand. Because it's God's battle. Verse 17. You need not fight in this battle.
Amen.
Quite clear. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand. And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf.
Amen.
Stand and see the salvation of God. Stand and see God beating the enemy.
Yeah.
Sometimes we might think of the enemy just being other people. But the situations and all sorts that draw us and drag us down. That is just as real as enemy as people are. And Satan will use whatever he can grasp hold of. If he sees that he can grab hold of us in some way or other, he'll seek to do it. But our verse 17 reminds us that we don't have to do the fighting. God's got to do the fighting. Amen. But we have to stand. Amen. We have to stand on the promises of God. We have to stand in faith. Amen. We have to stand before God. We have to stand in His presence and just seek Him and see the Lord do the battle on our behalf. Yes. It says still in verse 17, it says, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you."
Amen.
As soon as you turn to come to God, God is with you.
Yes.
No matter how far away you've gone, God says, "I'm here."
Amen.
For you. They were like the prodigal son. He didn't shut him out. He ran to greet him, to bring him back.
Amen.
That was God's love. But you see, you need to get in the right place.
Yeah.
You need to get in the right place. In that verse 17, it says, "Stasten yourselves." They had to get in the right place.
Yeah.
They had to be there in God's protection, and they had to be there to see God working and performing the miracle. And they had to stand against the fear.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the position where they can see the enemy.
Yeah.
So they are relying on God to do the work. So you need to follow the pattern that King Jehoshaphat's gone through. Follow the pattern. Alright, fear was the first thing that taunted him. But as soon as the fear came, he turned his attention to God. He turned his attention to God. And the whole nation showed the men business. Because they started fasting. They showed the men business. Verse 18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground." That's submitting to God. That's submitting to God. "And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord." Worshipping the Lord. They had to get to that point where their own feelings, intentions and everything else didn't matter. What matters was that God was the one in control, the Lord of everything, the one that could deliver, the only one that could deliver. And it says in verse 19, "And the Levites," now the Levites were the priestly tribe, "and the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice."
Amen.
With a very loud voice.
Yeah.
That would have chased some demons away.
Amen.
We have this watered down idea sometimes in the churches in this day and age that praising God is just singing and it doesn't have power. But praising God has real power.
Amen.
Because it does something inside. You know, like speaking the word of God out, like reading aloud the word of God. It does something inside.
It does.
And praising God does something. It equips. For one thing, it drives away fear. It establishes your faith level.
Yeah.
Because it puts some meat on you saying, "I've got faith." It puts some meat on it.
Yeah.
You're declaring it. You're declaring it to God. So they praise God with a very loud voice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what happened? They've done all this. God's promised them they're going to see something. without even having to fight. In verse 20 it tells us, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established."
Amen.
That means they're going to win.
Yep.
That means they're going to win.
Yep.
This is an interesting one in verse 21. He's telling us that he's got an army. He didn't put the army out first. He put the choir in front of the army. It says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army.
Amen.
Those who praised the Lord, praised him in holy attire, they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." We've heard that one before, haven't we? Hallelujah. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." That's even before they've seen God do anything.
Yeah.
That's before they've seen him do anything. And then verse 22, this is a real triumph. It says, "And when they began singing and praising the Lord..." They ought to put the Lord twice there. "When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy."
Yeah.
When they began singing and praising, they got themselves into the right place.
Yeah.
They got themselves, they picked themselves up from that beginning of chapter 20 where fear was there. They've built up their faith now. And
yeah.
They're there. They're ready.
Yeah.
They've even sent the choir out before the army. You know.
Yeah.
And that is how the enemy is going to be routed.
Yeah.
You turn over on my page, my Bible. Verse, where are we? 23. Well, it says at the end of 22 it says, they were routed.
Yeah.
It says, "And when they had finished with the inhabitants, they helped to destroy one another." The enemy fought against itself.
Yeah.
So such was the confusion of the enemy.
Yeah.
They fought one another.
Yeah.
So Jehoshaphat's army didn't have to do a thing.
No.
And they just seeing all this happen.
Yeah.
Who but God could actually make the enemy's army fight one another. And it says afterwards in verse 24, they saw all the corpses lying on the ground. He says, and no one had escaped. Not one of the enemy had escaped. God's plan was fulfilled to perfection. But it started with some submission and some obedience from Jehoshaphat and his nation. God had to remind them to get out of fear, to get out of dismay. Because he was going to do a thing. He was going to do it. He says, God kept telling them, "I'm going to do it. You don't have to fight. You can stand and watch. But I'm going to do it.
Amen.
When you come to me, when you submit to me, when you worship me, when you call me Lord and mean it, I will fight the battle."
Amen.
And all you have to do is stand.
Yeah.
And that is my God. That is the God that is working in your lives. He's working in my life. Now, I told you that there's some other situations. That's not in isolation. You can read these when you're at home. I'll just give you the references. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 47. That's David and Goliath. David says, "The God who I worship will sort him."
Yeah.
In Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, Moses, in respect of the Egyptian army, They didn't have to fight.
No.
God sorted the Egyptian army.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy. There's chapter 1, verse 30, and chapter 3, verse 22, about when they saw the giants in the promised land.
Yeah.
God told them that he would deal with them,
yeah.
but they had to trust him. It will, the problem was that when they didn't trust him, it put a big diversion on their trip to the promised land.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God had told them that he would do it. They didn't have to fight the battle, he would. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 20, when they were rebuilding the city walls, God says, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll sort the enemy. And Joshua chapter 6 verse 16, Joshua and the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have to fight there, they just marched around for seven days, and it all came with the trumpets and the shout.
Yeah.
And the walls came down.
Amen.
God brought the walls down without a shot being fired.
Yeah.
So God's done it a number of times, and it's there for us to see. But it's you and me to take hold of today.
Amen.
That God is still there fighting our battles. And it's wonderful this afternoon that people have said how God has got hold of them and bringing them into a new place. A new place in himself. And it's a place of strength. And it's a place of where God will fight your battles. If you just stand and worship him. And the wonderful thing is, shout.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just tell you a little. Some saw me in the countryside sometimes. They think I was balmy. But when you're on the hills, and there's nobody about for miles, and you're walking over the hills, you can shout.
Amen.
And nobody around hears. Nobody around sees. And there's time when I've prayed to God when I've been up hiking miles from anywhere. And it's not always been just praising God. Times when I've shouted to God, you know, what's happening? Because times of struggles and things like that, where nobody else can answer.
Yeah.
Nobody else can resolve the situation.
Yeah.
But God's been in there.
Yeah.
So I encourage you. Get shouting. Get praising and shouting.
Yeah.
Let God see. Let God see you, and let the enemy see your faith.
Yes.
Because it's the faith in God, your strength in God, that will chase the enemy away.
Yeah.
And if you've got to a place where you feel a long way off, well, turn your eyes, like the prodigal son, turn your eyes on Jesus and start coming towards him.
Amen.
Making that journey towards him.
Yeah.
And like the prodigal son, he'll be there putting his arms around you before you even get to the gates.
Yeah.
He'll be there for you. So remember today, if you remember nothing else, remember the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
The battle is the Lord's. Amen.